The liberal globalist order is on its brink and awakening a new conservative age. I'm Dr. Steve Turley. Join me every day as we discover answers to today's toughest challenges and explore the revitalization of conservative civilization. This is Turley Talks. Picture this. So you're scrolling through your social media feed on a relaxing, peaceful Saturday evening, but nevertheless expecting to see tons of viral footage of massive crowds storming the streets in woke fury against Trump's authoritarian overreach. I mean, after all, that's all the legacy media has been talking about these last several days. We can't wait for the No Kings protest. This could be amazing. But instead, you see something that looks more like, well, frankly, a nursing home outing, a literal geriatric field trip made up of predominantly, overwhelmingly insufferable liberal white boomers. And you suddenly realize this is no revolution. This ain't no uprising. This is just, well, sad. Welcome to the spectacular failure that was the second No Kings March, a demonstration so thoroughly embarrassing that even liberal media outlets couldn't hide their devastating disappointment. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor, here to help you make sense of the madness as the far left desperately tries to stop the unstoppable rise of a new conservative age that you're making happen all over the world. So if you want a front row seat on how you are changing the world in ways you never even imagined, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. So this weekend, the world witnessed yet another desperate, feeble attempt by the radical left to stage a successful, a massive No Kings rally all throughout our nation. What organizers promised would be a massive mobilization of millions across over 2,600 cities, well, it turned into what can only be described as the political equivalent of a community theater production with horrible reviews. In Boston, NBC's own reporters couldn't help but notice something rather peculiar about the crowd.
People I know who are there, this is an older crowd. There's not a lot of folks, and granted, it's a big crowd here. I'm not good at estimating, but it's definitely over 2,000, maybe close to 3,000. We can't see everyone, but it's an older crowd. A lot of white hair you see out there, Q-tips, as we used to call them in the business. And they are out protesting, and not a lot of young people.
This is so much for Gen Z. Whatever happened to Gen Z being the hope of the Democrat Party? Gen Z and non-whites, right? Gen Z, and particularly Latinos, were supposed to provide an unassailable majority for the Democrats for, like, literally the rest of the century. And the two demographics that the Democrats have built their entire future hopes on ignored them this weekend. They literally had no interest whatsoever in this silly, useless, and feeble political stunt. Everywhere you looked, whether Democrats like it or not, even the legacy media is admitting it, everywhere you looked across the country, you saw a predominantly, overwhelmingly white, boomer, liberal crowd. Okay? It was geriatric field trip. Oh, and the turnout itself, it was a dud. Far from being the political earthquake that the legacy media was hoping for, a turning point in our nation's history, no. It turned out to be little more than a drizzle. Even CNN couldn't sugarcoat it, though they certainly tried.
Well, Frederica, this program of speakers just ended a short time ago. I can tell you that the crowd is thinning out here. People started to leave. But boy, it was jam-packed here just a few minutes ago when the program of speakers was still going on. You had Senator Bernie Sanders, who just wrapped up to a rousing round of applause. Senator Chris Murphy spoke. Bill Nye, the science guy, spoke. And again, the crowds are thinned, but they're not gone yet. I mean, there was just tens of thousands of people packed into a relatively small space here on Pennsylvania Avenue, and they were pressing forward as they arrived, really to really pack into a very, very tight space.
Now, take note of the time there. Do you see it? What time are the crowds, this massive uprising, this political earthquake, what time are they dispersing here? He's reporting at 2:30 in the afternoon, at 2:33 p.m. Eastern time. And the crowds for the supposed massive uprising were done. They were gone. They dispersed at 2:30 in the afternoon. I mean, not much of an uprising, is it? And it just got worse. When confronted by citizen journalists, many of the protesters admitted they literally had no idea why they were there. They didn't even know. They couldn't even articulate a single specific grievance against Trump. Check this out.
We're out here at the No Kings protest, and we're asking all the important questions.
Such as, if Trump was elected, how exactly is he a king?
Because he is trying to take control of everything. Like, his checks and balances are not working. So he is just trying to completely disregard the Constitution.
Like, in a way that they're not supposed to be.
Yeah, which amendment specifically?
The whole...
First one.
Yeah, the first one.
Trying to take away our...
Freedom of protesting.
I would say that it's because, even though he was elected, I agree, you know, due process, he got what he, you know, he got elected fairly, sure, but he's doing things that make him a king. Like, he's taking away, you know, civil rights.
That's a great question. I don't particularly think he's a king. It's how people are viewing him as.
Actively switching the levers of power in order to subvert elections.
And what does that mean?
Things such as, trouble coming up with words.
Now, despite all that obvious political illiteracy that the Democrats both foster and exploit, perhaps most telling was what happened in Chicago, where the quote-unquote peaceful protests quickly devolved into exactly what we've come to expect from these manufactured movements. What began as yet another staged demonstration transformed into a full-blown riot outside the ICE facility there. Something very similar happened as well in L.A. So while the geriatric uprising didn't get Gen Z or Latinos to join in, they did get assistance from Antifa, which again is such an indictment as to the current state of the Democrat Party. Obviously, President Trump wasn't impressed.
Protests over the weekend, the No Kings protests.
I think it's a joke. I looked at the people. They're not representative of this country. And I looked at all the brand new signs paid for, I guess it was paid for by Soros and other radical left lunatics. It looks like it was. We're checking it out. The demonstrations were very small, very ineffective, and the people were whacked out. When you look at those people, those are not representative of the people of our country.
Mr. President, besides San Francisco...
By the way, I'm not a king. I work my ass off to make our country great. That's all it is. I'm not a king at all.
And of course, he's absolutely right. This is a theater of the absurd. He's obviously not a king. As Mike Johnson pointed out on the Sunday talk shows, if Trump were a king, the government wouldn't be shut down right now. If Trump were king, all those protesters would be designated as treasonous, and every one of them would have been arrested. Dictators don't allow mass demonstrations. Authoritarians don't allow for exactly the kind of protests we saw over the weekend. What we saw is what's technically known as a performative inconsistency. Their whole argument was refuted by virtue of what they did in the argument, by virtue of their actions. It's like if I said, I cannot express myself with words. What's wrong with it? Right? What's wrong with it? It's technically called a performative inconsistency, a performative contradiction. I contradict, I refute what I'm saying by virtue of me saying it. I'm refuting my claim that I can't express myself in words by expressing myself in words. I'm explicitly doing what I'm claiming I can't do. That's what we mean by a performative contradiction.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down? And you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
That is exactly what the entire world witnessed over the weekend. We watched a bunch of sad, confused, angry, white liberal boomers refute their own claim that Trump was an authoritarian dictator by doing what any and all authoritarian dictators would not allow. The very fact that you had a No King's Day protest, as pathetic as it was, is proof that we have no king. Their own actions refute everything they affirm. They are the very definition of a walking contradiction. Speaking of, you know, I know a lot of you have been wanting to get into crypto investing, like with Bitcoin or Ethereum, Solana, but you've always been turned off or intimidated by the volatility. The highs are great, right? The 30%, 40% returns. But what about the equally volatile lows? Well, gang, no more. Meet your knight in shining armor. Just like Trump succeeded where Biden's team failed, BlockTrust IRA has a super AI system that Bitcoin Magazine named the number one crypto technology platform in the world among 1,500 global competitors. And what that super AI does is it works 24/7 to analyze global market data and predict with uncanny accuracy the highs and the lows of crypto volatility. So BlockTrust IRA then sells at the highs, but then they buy again at the lows, which mitigates the volatility all the while you stand to make incredible gains. That's why I'm a proud client of BlockTrust IRA. I have my own account with them, gang, and I can honestly say I love them, and I think you're going to love them too. Their mission perfectly aligns with President Trump's Make America Great Again agenda, smashing down the barriers between loyal patriots and the financial freedom they deserve, helping true Americans build impressive wealth in Trump's historic economic boom. So it doesn't matter what state of life you're in. Are you a small business owner? Are you a truck driver? You may be a teacher. You may be a retiree. This is your chance to get into the crypto market with AI mitigating your volatility risks. So while the Democrats shut down the government and tank their own polling numbers, smart Americans are positioning themselves for the Trump financial revolution. Click that link below right now or visit TurleyTalksCrypto.com and find out how they can help you join the greatest crypto wealth opportunity in history. And the best part, for a limited time, they're offering my viewers up to $2,500 in bonus crypto when you open up an account with them. It's amazing stuff. Don't wait. Remember, crypto created 80,000 new millionaires last year. Why not you? Why not the whole of the MAGA movement? Come on, gang. Visit TurleyTalksCrypto.com. That's TurleyTalksCrypto.com. I think what we have to understand here in terms of making sense of all of this on what happened over the weekend, what we have to understand is that what we witnessed wasn't authentic political resistance. What we witnessed was the death rattle of a dying movement that's become addicted to symbolic gestures over substantive action. The phenomenon we observed on Saturday fits perfectly with what social scientists call performative activism. So we got a lot of performances here, right? We got our performative inconsistency, but we also have performative activism. It's political behavior designed primarily for symbolic effect, but not concrete results. And that's so key to get here. Unlike the civil rights demonstrations in the 1960s or the labor movements of the early 20th century, which had specific, achievable goals and employed strategic disruption and, frankly, put their lives on the line, Modern liberal protests exist primarily as emotional outlets and social signaling mechanisms, right? And the key here, again, is that the demographic makeup that predominated these protests provides crucial insight into this dynamic, because you'll notice that the overwhelming presence of affluent elderly white liberals reflects what these what social psychologists identify as symbolic management of protests. Symbolic management of protests. In other words, no one's putting their life on the line like Charlie Kirk did. No one. No one on Saturday put their life on the line. No one is subjecting their livelihood to risk like we did during the COVID craziness, or like the Freedom Convoy truckers in Ottawa, right, that got debanked with their bank accounts getting frozen, getting arrested and the like. No one, not a single person anywhere across the country that participated in this political theater risked anything. It was purely symbolic. Mike Cernovich pointed this irony out. Quote, they get to hold their protests without a care in the world. No snipers on buildings shooting at them. No masked thugs attacking them. Every media outlet fawning over them. Irony levels fit for a king. Irony levels fit for a king. Bullseye. I mean, in other words, these protesters aren't putting their lives on the line. They're not fighting for material change that could adversely affect their comfortable little lives. All they're doing is performing resistance. They are not actively engaged in resistance. And that performance is meant to maintain their self-image as progressive activists while staying inside their comfortable, undisturbed little liberal bubbles that protect them from any real harm or danger. I mean, that's what the legacy media is today. They don't put themselves in harm's way, right? There are no riots in LA or Chicago. It's fiery but mostly peaceful protests. This is why the right is winning. The left has become soft and complacent in their virtual reality. They're weak and brittle, whereas the right, like when you build muscle by constantly enduring resistance, the right, the MAGA right, is fit. It's literally physically fit, right? We're told physical fitness now is far right. We're fit. We're flourishing in faith and family. We're having kids. They're not. Our demographic is surging while theirs is literally plummeting. Our red states are flourishing while their blue states are languishing. What we saw over the weekend is a microcosm of the sad, decaying, dying state of the Democrat Party. Perhaps most damning for the Democrat left and the No Kings protesters is their complete disconnect from political reality. I mean, Trump won the popular vote. He carried historically, he carried all seven swing states. He has historically high approval ratings for a second-term president, and he's implementing exactly the policies he campaigned on. This is democracy in action. Protesting the democratic process itself, which is what opposing lawfully elected officials implementing their campaign promises amounts to, reveals that these movements are fundamentally anti-democratic despite their rhetoric. I mean, we certainly saw it during the COVID craziness. The future of American politics will be shaped not by aging liberals performing resistance in the streets, performing resistance, but by younger generations who value authenticity over theater, results over rhetoric, and genuine Democrat participation over manufactured outrage. Precisely why Gen Z, and particularly Gen Z men, are so solidly on the side of MAGA. The No Kings March wasn't just a tactical failure. It was a preview of a political movement in its final desperate phase, mistaking noise for influence and performance for power. As Saturday's events demonstrated, there is a vast difference between authentic political resistance like the MAGA movement and expensive political cosplay. The former builds lasting change, the latter provides temporary emotional satisfaction while accelerating political irrelevance. The choice facing American liberals is clear. Evolve beyond performative politics or continue their march toward political obsolescence, one embarrassing demonstration at a time. Thanks so much for listening, gang. If you haven't already, be sure to head on over to turley.pub/news and sign up for our newsletter. That's where I share all the latest updates, behind-the-scenes news, and ways you can stay plugged into this growing movement of faith, family, and freedom. Big things are always in the works, and I want you to be the first to know. Until next time, stay strong, stay hopeful, and God bless.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Turley Talks podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this episode with your friends. Help us defeat the fake news media and rank as the number one news and commentary podcast all over the world. Come back again tomorrow for another episode celebrating the rise of a new conservative age.